A progressive, evidence-based treatment that utilizes an FDA-approved tourniquet to reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow-restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. BT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
And a very pleasant Saturday morning, and welcome to another edition of Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LombineAuto.com. Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood with you in studio today. Have a good lineup for you, a good show, I think. We'll be visiting with Emporia High basketball coach Lee Baldwin during the hour. We'll also have Casey Helm, a young man, of course, out of Madison High School, tremendous track athlete, football player, just a good athlete all the way around, went to Princeton to compete in track and has done very well.
He has.
For himself at Princeton, and we'll visit with him again a little later on here during the program. No Blake Cripps. Blake off this weekend.
He is PAing the second session of TVT tonight in Wichita. So,
all right, very good.
And I will be heading to Wichita as well for TVT.
All right. Well, hopefully the Mass Street guys will play a little bit better than they did against
I hope so. I think Frank Mason will be a huge turning point. They don't know when they're going to get Thomas Robinson. I was reading on the Lawrence Journal World yesterday that it depends on how the Puerto Rican playoffs are for T-Rob to show up. And then Silvio De Sousa is recovering from – is he rehabbing from an injury? I know on TVT's website it said Ben McLemore was going to be on the team, but I haven't read anything about Benny Mack. But, of course, the highlight is Frank Mason. Frank, a great four-year career at KU. I can remember my first year at KU – the first class I ever had, Tim, at KU was personal finance. And so you look and see who's in that class that are KU basketball players. You had Frank Mason was in that class. Wayne Selden was in that class. Hunter Mickelson was in that class. And Andrew Wiggins was in that class, too.
Wow. Nice lineup.
That was a a very unexpected first day of class for me at KU to know the future number one pick of the NBA draft in 2014 was right there. And then, of course, Wayne Selden, you know, everyone thought that he was going to be a one and done, but he ended up being at KU 3 years. And, of course, Frank, everyone knows what Frank Mason did and being the National Player of the Year really showed a been playing in the Final Four. The 2016 team should have been in the Final Four. The 17 team, that was a good team too, with Frank winning the Player of the Year award. But I just wish Frank Mason would have had a chance to play in a Final Four.
Yeah, obviously a tremendous college player and has, you know, done very well for himself professionally. That Mass Street team, I know when they played the K-State guys, I think they're called Purple Rain, I think.
Yeah, and they're also in Wichita, too.
Right.
So they play at – yeah, K-State's alumni team plays at 2. But they had a lot of their guys available in that exhibition, and KU didn't have Frank Mason, but Frank arrived on Thursday because they had an open practice in Lawrence, so –
I know there was just some folks who were a little disappointed that the roster did not include the folks who originally had thought to be a part of it. So hopefully they'll get some guys as we move through this thing.
I know Tyshawn Taylor, he played last year, but he's going to be an assistant coach with Sharon Collins. And Tyshawn has he's got a walking boot on, so he's got an injury. So that would have been a good addition, too. Yeah.
So if you want to have a little flash to the past and want to see some guys who were previously stars at KU, K-State, Wichita State, I think,
yep.
Has a team in there.
Wichita State's alumni team, the Aftershocks, they play at noon.
Okay.
And they will be playing a team called Midtown Prestige. And I was looking at their roster, Midtown Prestige, and they got some guys that are really with the small colleges. And there's a guy by the name of Kevin Clark. He was at Southwestern, played 2 years at Cali in Arc City. He's from Arc City as well. And he was an NAIA All-American. So, and there are a couple of kids from Southwestern on that team as well. So, but yeah, some good talent. There's even a couple of former Shockers on that team as well, but they may have not have spent most of their time at Wichita State. So, should be fun. Should be a fun day. I know the first two games are nationally televised at FS1 and FS2. Unfortunately, you got to go online to stream KU's game tonight on tbtlive.thetournament.com. But if KU does win today, they'll play at 6 on Monday, and that game will be on streaming. And then if they end up getting to the regional championship game, it'll be on FS1. So,
yeah, so if you're we're just looking around for something to do today, and had an open schedule, head to Wichita.
And it's very affordable. It's very affordable. So I think they have general admission tickets for $15 for each session today. There's two different sessions. And then Monday and Wednesday night, cheapest tickets are $10.
All right.
Yeah.
So there you go. Royals, they
yes.
Of course, get back at it last night at the K, taking on the Chicago White Sox and begin the second half. With a fine start, 7-1 win over the Sox. Bobby Witt Jr., 3-for-3, couple of ribbies, hits the home run. Michael Wacha, excellent pitching performance,
yeah.
As we've come to expect from the starters. 7 innings, 4 hits, just 1 walk, 7 Ks. So the Royals win 7-1. Other bit of good news, the Red Sox lose.
Yay.
As they lose
to the Dodgers. Twins lost, too.
Yep, 4-1. And so the Royals now just a game out of the third wild card spot. So a good beginning to the second half, and they have a nice homestand here coming up, and an opportunity to hopefully move up in the standings a little bit. Unfortunately, the Guardians did win last night. So
yeah, they were playing the Padres.
Yep. So, but no, good start. Royals back yes. at it today. Brady Singer on the hill for the Royals. So, of course, that game will be carried right here on KVOE, mm-hmm. 5:30 pre, 6:10 first pitch.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Royals off to a good start in the second half coming off of the All-Star break. Some other info, British Open going on, third round today. Yeah. Shane Lowry, the yeah. lead after 2 rounds, -7. The cut line was +6. I think Gary Woodland made the cut. He's +2, I think, right now.
I think Bryson DeChambeau didn't make the cut either.
Yeah, there was some rough scores.
Tiger Woods.
Yeah, Tiger had a really, really tough tough day, couple days. I think he ended up 14 over.
Yeah, 14 over, 156.
Yeah, ouch. So, yeah,
big
so that's,
ouch.
That's like the third straight major he hasn't made the cut, I think.
Yeah, he has cut or withdrawn from 6 of his last 7 majors. So yeah. That's
kind of tough go there.
That's tough go and kind of a little dry spell for Tiger.
So, yeah, third round British Open going on today. Some other things to mention. The two bowlers, Nate Green and Kadrick Crouch from Emporia High, they mm-hmm. were at the boys under 18 junior gold championships out in Detroit.
Yeah.
Nate Green finished 484th. Kadrick Crouch, 1,196, and you wonder, well, that doesn't sound great. We got to consider this tournament had over 3,000 bowlers mm-hmm. participating, so
yeah.
A good showing for both young guys.
Yeah, definitely, and I was keeping track of it throughout the week and communicating with Mike Crouch a little bit, and he said, this is the real deal. And I know when we were at Flint Hills Lanes on Tuesday for our hide-and-seek remote. I was talking to Amy Martin, and she is hoping that more of her bowlers go to this tournament next year. So it's good to see two go this year and represent, you know, not only Emporia, but Emporia High as well. And I think this is a good confidence booster because, Tim, I was looking, and the top Kansas bowler was in, like, the top 10.
Wow.
And he's from Washburn Rural. So that shows me they're going against not only the best in Kansas, but the best around the United States.
Well, it's the largest U.S. youth bowling tournament in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, pretty impressive. And, yeah, of course, I mentioned Nate Green gets in the inside the top 500. I think the top 191
advanced. That was the oddest number ever seen.
Why not 190, 195, 200, what, you know? I'm not sure why they came up with 191, but
right.
Anyway, so congrats to those two, and plus what a great experience for them, and I'm sure they enjoyed themselves and come back better bowlers, so that was some good information there. I guess one thing I was going to mention, the Olympics start on Friday.
Yeah, I cannot believe that's almost here.
Yeah, Summer Olympics opening ceremony on Friday, of course, the Paris Games, so that will be coming up this coming week. Anxious to see some of that. I enjoy the Summer Olympics.
I do, too.
Yeah, basketball, track and field, swimming, a lot of good stuff.
And I'll be watching a lot of the basketball when it happens. So, but, yeah, I'll probably watch quite a bit of the Olympics. You know they're going to have it on multiple channels, Peacock as well. So, yeah.
Plenty of opportunity to
view. Yeah.
Did you happen to see the ESPN Top 100 Pro Athletes of the 21st Century poll that they did?
I think I might have seen it, but I didn't go into
I just jotted a little bit more.
So go ahead.
Who would you guess would be the number one athlete of the 21st century?
Number one athlete?
The top athlete of the 21st century.
So we're talking in the 2000s and up.
Yep.
Wow.
I tell you, my guess was wrong.
Your guess was wrong?
My guess was wrong. I assumed it would be like LeBron James.
That would be someone that I would have thought of.
And he was number four.
He was number four.
Yeah, he was number four.
I would say if I were to give you two, I would go with Patrick Mahomes or Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant, I believe, was number 10.
Okay.
Patrick Mahomes was 18th.
Okay.
And he's the only local athlete that made the top 100, by the
okay.
way.
Okay.
Or someone you would consider local. Like, there was no Royals, obviously, on there.
I wouldn't have been
thinking
that direction.
He was the only
chief that was anyway.
On there. No, the number one athlete of the 21st century, I just mentioned the Olympics.
Simone Biles?
Nope. Michael Phelps.
Really?
Michael Phelps was number one. Of course, gosh, tons of gold medals in the Olympics. But, Michael Phelps was one. Serena Williams was number two.
And she just hosted the ESPYs last weekend. She did a great job.
Well, and another one I thought of was Tom Brady, and he was fifth. So
yeah.
I just thought it was kind of fun. They did, like I say, they did the top 100 pro athletes of the 21st century, And I was just shocked that Michael Phelps was number one. Not that he's certainly not a highly decorated athlete.
Well, he did do a lot.
He did do a lot. It just didn't come to mind as someone who I thought would be first in that particular poll. So anyway, I just thought it was an interesting read. So if you want to go check it out, I know they have the top 100 on ESPN.com. So if you want to go read that, you certainly can. So again, this morning our guests will be Casey Helm, also Lee Baldwin. We'll have Casey, I believe, coming up first. Let's go ahead and take our first break here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. When we come back, we will visit with Casey Helm. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongbineAuto.com.
Chevy Summer Drive sales event is happening now at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Time to get your biggest savings of the year on our best inventory of new Chevys in years. Savings like $8,000 off MSRP on select new 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 models. Longbine Auto Plaza has them in stock. Or if you need something to move your family around, check out the new 2024 Chevy Tahoe or the hottest midsize SUV for getting around town. It's the 2024 Chevy Equinox. Don't forget the fuel-efficient 2024 Chevy Trax and Chevy Trailblazer models, too. They're in stock right now. And check out the new 2024 Chevy Blazer and Chevy Equinox EV models, too. Save lots of money on gas. You won't find a better deal anywhere. For summer drive savings now, come see our best inventory in years at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Or visit us online 24-7 at longbineauto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. The SEC now officially has 16 schools with the arrivals of Texas and Oklahoma. The conference just held their football media days to kick off their new era. One of the biggest changes to the SEC is the leadership of the Alabama football program. The Crimson Tide have been a dominant force in the conference, winning 6 national championships under the legendary Nick Saban. The college icon announced his retirement in January. He was replaced by former Washington head coach Kalen DeBoer. The 49-year-old took the Huskies to the national title game last year. Now he looks to keep the tide rolling under his leadership.
There's only one Coach Saban. There will only ever be one Coach Saban. And it's been just an awesome blessing to be a part of this program. That expectation on us, the alternative is to be at places where there aren't expectations. And we're just going to focus on this team and being the best we can be and continue to build on the great tradition of Alabama football.
Baseball's new batch, next on This Week in the NCAA.
There are a lot of so-called fast food deals out there. But do any of them have the Wendy's Junior Bacon Cheeseburger, Crispy Fries, everyone's favorite nugs, and a drink for just $5 like Wendy's Biggie Bag? Nope. And that's why no other deals can be called the Wendy's Biggie Bag. That and a little thing called plagiarism. When the deal is as fresh as the meal, gotta be Wendy's.
Gotta be fresh.
Includes choice of JBC or crispy chicken sandwich with 4-piece nugs, junior fry, and small soft drink. U.S. price and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Alaska, Hawaii, and California and via third-party delivery.
Biggest stars were selected in this week's MLB draft. The notable selections include Travis Bazzano, the star infielder from Oregon State, who was picked first overall by the Cleveland Guardians, slugger Charlie Condon from Georgia, who won the Golden Spikes Award as the best amateur baseball player in the country, was taken third by the Colorado Rockies. Second baseman Christian Moore from the national champion Tennessee Volunteers was picked number 8 by the Los Angeles Angels. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
And welcome back to Saturday morning sports talk. Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood with you on the program as we now bring in our first guest. Casey Helm joins us on the Sutherland studio line. And, of course, Casey, a Madison High School product, now competing in track and field at Princeton University. Casey, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. Now, are you home in Madison as we speak?
Yeah. I've been home since NCAAs was over, and I'll be here until we head back to school.
All right. Do you get a chance to come home very often at all?
Not too much. I came back home for fall break and over winter break, but no time during the spring season. We're pretty busy with travel and then with school and everything. So it's just nice to be home for a while.
Now you just finished up your sophomore year, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and a big year for you, qualified for the NCAA championships. Just talk about that a little bit and what that experience was like heading to Eugene, Oregon.
Yeah, for sure. It was a great experience. I knew coming into this year that was the goal, is to get to NCAA's freshman year after going to regionals and finishing 14th when 12 get to go for nationals and missing it by 9 inches. It was a big motivating factor for me. And, I mean, just making it a goal doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen. I mean, the regionals format where you go down and only get 3 throws is tough. The number one thrower in the NCAA fouled out, so he didn't even get to go to nationals. So I was pretty excited just to qualify, and then you know, you go to Eugene, Oregon and see the amazing facilities and get a chance to throw with some of the best competition. And then ended up having a pretty good meet, finishing 12th for second team All-American. And I was pretty happy with that.
Casey, what does it mean to be a second team All-American as only a sophomore, knowing what you accomplished towards the end of your high school career? Because you had a fantastic final high school meet down at Cessna Stadium in Wichita.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I mean, it means a lot. There's still a lot left on the table, for sure. I mean, I really wanted to, once I got to Oregon, I really wanted to get on the podium and get that top eight finished. And I had a warm-up throw that definitely would have got me in that spot, but I just didn't capitalize on having that good warm-up. And then after my opening really good throw, I couldn't put together another throw to build on that. But I mean, there's still a lot left in the tank for sure, and I just plan on just keep practicing and keep getting better for future meets.
Well, Casey, how much of a thrill was it? Because you were the Ivy League champion too, correct?
Yes, sir. That was a lot of fun. The Ivy League meet is the HEPS, as we call it, is always a huge energy meet. Our team always comes with the idea to win, and it's kind of expected at this point that we're going to go and we're going to win. And we ended up winning the Triple Crown this year as a team. So our team won cross-country, indoor, and outdoor. So it's always a really big deal when we compete that. We don't just want to win one. I mean, the Triple Crown is the goal every year. And then to go out on the first day and win discus, I mean, it was just a lot of fun. And we got to do it at home. And then put those 10 points up for your team. It was just a great atmosphere and a really fun meet to be a part of.
Casey, how was the transition for you when you arrived at Princeton when you were a freshman and knowing you made some growth now as you enter your junior season?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely it was a little tough at first, for sure, coming from a small town and then going up to New Jersey with a very rigorous academic schedule, and then transitioning to heavier weights in the throwing implements, going from a 12-pound shot to 16 and a 1.6-kilogram discus to 2K. So, I mean, there's a lot of different transitions there, and then it definitely took me a while to get my footing in the fall. I mean, I was just trying to find my way for the first couple weeks, but then we really found our stride, but the whole team, and especially our throws group. I mean, that's one other thing that's helped a lot is we got a big throws group that's all very, very serious about throwing, and we all want to be successful. So, I mean, just having that atmosphere with a bunch of other guys, it just makes it that much more fun. And, I mean, we just push each other to be better.
You mentioned that the facilities in Eugene. Talk about that a little bit. What was the atmosphere like there in Oregon?
I mean, it was incredible. I mean, that was the nicest stadium I've ever gotten to throw in. And a lot of times the throwers, especially for discus throwers, we don't necessarily get to throw inside stadiums. We're typically outside and sometimes just kind of away from the track. It's kind of forgotten a little bit the throws are. So just to be in the stadium and get to throw on the championship day for men's in that atmosphere was incredible. But not only that, I mean, you got to see a bunch of, I mean, world-class athletes in all the events. Most of the athletes were NCAA athletes, there were some pros that were in the area training for Olympic trials. So you got to see a couple pros training, and I mean, it's just a beautiful facility, and I mean, the competition was the best, so I mean, overall it was just amazing.
Casey, another reason why you're home is you're giving some lessons on throwing, and how have those gone for you this summer? How's kind of the response been? Because that's kind of another reason why I wanted to bring you on is how have the lessons you've been providing for locally helping you get your name out a little bit more, knowing how good of a high school career you had?
Yeah, I mean, I knew this summer when I came home, I wanted to work on a little bit of coaching. And, I mean, it's been a lot of fun working with a lot of local kids. I just really like seeing good throwers, especially from smaller towns in our area. I mean, what a lot of people don't seem to understand is that, like, where they're looking for football and basketball, there's good recruits that come from small schools, but with throwing, it really doesn't matter at all, school size, enrollment, none of that matters. So I'm really trying to help the smaller towns, and enjoy seeing good throwers in the area, so I thought I'd want to do some coaching and help out. And, I mean, it's been a lot of fun. I've known for a while that I've enjoyed throws coaching, and then, I mean, throughout high school, I worked with some of our the kids in our high school, just giving them pointers, and then even at Princeton, while we have a very, very good throws coach, all the throwers, I mean, we ask each other for advice, so we're doing coaching the whole year, essentially, and then being home, it's just been a lot of fun, and it's not only helped me learn more about being a coach, but it's helped me become a better thrower while I'm coaching, just looking at it at a different perspective and just helping out younger kids.
Casey, along those same lines, and this is a multi-part question here, several all in one. Number one, do you have more openings if kids wanted to get some coaching? Number two, if that's the case, how can they reach out to you? And I guess then thirdly, is coaching something you'd like to pick up as a career when you're done?
Yeah, I'm definitely available for more coaching sessions. I've had quite a few, but my schedule is still very open. So if anyone is looking for coaching sessions, you can look on Facebook. I've posted a couple Facebook posts regarding my information. You can go to Casey Helm on Facebook and message me, or my Instagram. Also, my phone number is 620-437-6133. So, I mean, that's another way to reach out. I'm definitely available for more coaching sessions. And I knew before I came home this summer, I just enjoyed spending time around the throws. Getting started on it so young for my grandpa, it's just something I've truly enjoyed. So I've definitely thought about before this summer going into coaching, and then after spending some time doing it this summer, I've enjoyed it much more. So it's something to help stay around the throws when I'm done being a thrower, because, everyone has to call it at some point. So hopefully someday I can get myself into the throws coaching. So that's definitely something I'm looking at into the future.
Casey, does your family get much of an opportunity to come watch you?
It's kind of tough because most of my meets are on the East Coast, but I was lucky enough to have my family come out for the Ivy League championships, so that was a lot of fun. And then I had some family go out to Eugene, Oregon, and watch me throw. So, It's definitely tough being halfway across the country for most of our meets, but two of the bigger meets I competed at this year, I had my family there to watch. So, it's just that much more special when you get to share it with your family and they're there cheering you on.
So what are your goals for your junior year?
Big goals for me, I just want to keep getting better. I didn't quite have the indoor season this past year that I wanted to. I kind of had a shaky start to my indoor season in shot, and then kind of got it figured out more towards the end of outdoor. So big goal is just, have a better indoor season, more consistent with the shot put, and just keep getting better. Goals-wise, I want to end up back at NCAAs for discus and hopefully shot put and competing for the first team All-American position. So that would be top eight. Distance-wise, I haven't really set any goals distance-wise, but, I just know if I keep getting better and keep doing the workouts and training, I know the distance will go up, and then, just keep getting better every day.
I guess my last question, Casey, is Dylan and I mentioned the fact that the opening ceremonies of the Paris Olympics are this coming Friday in 2028. They're in Los Angeles. Is that something you've thought about?
Absolutely. I know a big goal of mine this year actually was to qualify for the Olympic trials, and I ended up being pretty close, ended up a little short, a couple feet off. I ended my season with 58.72 in meters, and I think it took 59.60 or 50, right around there, so about a meter off, and we didn't really have that much good conditions this year for discus. We had a really good wind and really good conditions early, but I was coming off a minor back injury, so I didn't throw how I'd liked, and I think that if I would have gotten some better conditions later in the season when I was really throwing consistently and really things were clicking, I think I would have hit a mark that qualified me. But three more years of training before the next Olympic year, I mean, I'm really excited for the possibilities, and that is definitely something I've thought about. And I mean, any track athlete's goal is, I mean, they want to compete at the Olympics. That's the biggest stage. So, I mean, I'd love to have that opportunity, and I mean, just got to keep working until that happens.
Well, Casey, we certainly have appreciated your time this morning. It's been great to watch your career at Princeton, a local guy. You obviously got a lot of people around the area, not just in Madison, but around certainly Emporia and the surrounding area rooting for you. And have a great summer, and best of luck to you in your junior season at Princeton.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on.
Thanks, Casey.
Casey Helm, the fine thrower from Madison High School. He's at Princeton University. He was the Ivy League champion in the discus, qualified for the NCAA championships out in Eugene, finished eighth, and wound up being a second-team All-American. So a great sophomore season, and we'll certainly continue to follow Casey as his career continues to develop at Princeton. Let's go ahead and take our second break, and when we come back, we're gonna get with Lee Baldwin, the Emporia High boys basketball coach. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongbineAuto.com.
Chevy Summer Drive sales event is happening now at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Time to get your biggest savings of the year on our best inventory of new Chevys in years. Savings like $8,000 off MSRP on select new 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 models. Longbine Auto Plaza has them in stock. Or if you need something to move your family around, check out the new 2024 Chevy Tahoe or the hottest midsize SUV for getting around town. It's the 2024 Chevy Equinox. Don't forget the fuel-efficient 2024 Chevy Trax and Chevy Trailblazer models too. They're in stock right now. And check out the new 2024 Chevy Blazer and Chevy Equinox EV models too. Save lots of money on gas. You won't find a better deal anywhere. For summer drive savings now, come see our best inventory in years at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia, or visit us online 24/7 at longbineauto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
I'm Alex Zobario in the Open Championship in Scotland. Weather continues to be a factor. Moving into the second day, 2019 winner Shane Lowry went from one stroke back to two strokes up. He's 7-under through two rounds despite a bit of drama with a lost ball. He has his first 36-hole lead in a major in his career. He's confident he can stay in front.
Tomorrow is going to be a long day, but I'm, you know, I've done it before. Going out there leading a tournament, who knows if I'm going to be leading by the end of the day, you know, with these conditions. Probably will be, but you know, we'll have to wait and see. It's you just go out, and for me it's just all about going out and playing my own game, shooting the best score I can, and then seeing where it leaves me at the end of the day. You know, trying not to worry about what other people are doing, and just trying to take care of your own personal stuff.
Tiger Woods at plus 14 missed his third straight major cut. He, Bryson DeChambeau, and Rory McIlroy among the notable names not to make the cut. WNBA has hit its Olympic break before Team USA leaves for Paris. They'll compete against the WNBA All-Stars today in Phoenix for the first time. Longtime rivals Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark, they'll be on the same team. Reese on putting the rivalry with Clark aside for one game.
Yeah, we haven't had that talk yet, obviously. Everybody can cheer for both of us for one day, so which is going to be cool. So I'm excited. This is going to be first of many. I know we're going to be All-Star teams together in the future, Olympic teams together. in the future too. So I'm just excited just to be here in this moment and everybody coming and being able to watch. I know it's going to be a sold out crowd. So women's sports is going into a rise, and I'm happy.
Tip off between Team USA and Team WNBA 8:30 on ABC. Astros moving to first in the AL West for the first time this season. They beat the Mariners 3-0 on Friday. Orioles get four homers, including two from Anthony Santander. They beat the Rangers 9-1. Dodgers get an eighth inning grand slam from Freddie Freeman to rally and beat the Red Sox 4-1.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
I think my battery's dead. With free battery testing and charging, we can help you get back on the road.
Get in the zone, Auto.
So what if I need a new one?
We have the right Duralast battery for you, only at AutoZone.
Get in the zone, Auto.
And what about my old battery?
We can recycle it right here at America's number one battery destination.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues? Who are you? Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
And welcome back to Saturday morning sports talk. Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood with you. We're now joined by Emporia High boys basketball coach Lee Baldwin. Coach Baldwin, good Saturday morning to you.
You too. Thank you guys for having me in this morning. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. I know we were talking just briefly off air. I know a lot of your time in the summers chasing around kids, right?
It is. Between June, doing all of our basketball stuff up there, and then baseball is a pretty heavy sport during the summer, so there's days where I'm not sure what day it is and where I'm going, but it usually involves a ball field somewhere.
So as far as basketball is concerned, just kind of give us an idea of what's taken place so far this summer.
Well, to be honest with you, it's the most enjoyable basketball summer I've had as a head coach. We changed a lot of our summer philosophy. In the past, we've always done skill work in the morning 2 to 3 days a week, and I just decided we're not going to do any of that stuff, which is very contradictory. We played varsity wise we played 18 games in June. We only had two practices, but it was the most worthwhile, efficient, and productive summer I've had, and I'll probably continue to do that type of method. It allowed us to do a summer league for our middle school kids, which we had over 40 kids, just Emporia kids only, so we had a great turnout for that. So it's a formula I never thought I would do, but it worked out perfectly, and our varsity guys really enjoyed that because, you know, a lot of them work, they go to weights, they play their sport, so they weren't getting burnout. So when we did play, they were fresh, and it was meaningful, and we got the best from them. So I couldn't ask for a better summer.
Who do you feel like has developed and maybe grown a little bit more from last season that was on the varsity roster?
A lot of guys, really. You know, we had a lot of turnover on our roster, so we had some opportunities for guys to step up. I mean, obviously, I still think Nolan's going to be our primary on-ball defender. You know, that's an area he excels at. I think Madden Seidel took a huge step forward. I feel really comfortable with him, you know, starting at the five position for us. Josh played a lot better this summer, starting to add more of a perimeter game, which he's going to need to be able to do. Mm-hmm. Harry Trelk is going to be our point guard.
Yeah.
Rylan had some really good games this summer. You know, he's still in the process of understanding that, you know, he's a load. and he needs to start acting like he's the best player on the floor in every game, and that's, you know, that's the expectation for him. And you know, that's kind of our starting five, and then we had some soon to be sophomores step up this summer. That was very surprising to add, give us some depth there. Tarek Franklin had a really good summer. He's going to play some varsity. Obviously Chase Harrington, and then we're still trying to figure out some other guys to give us that eighth and ninth spot. But it was a very, very worthwhile and productive summer.
So you mentioned the fact you changed up things in terms of how you conducted your summer. Mm-hmm. What led to that? What was the thinking behind it?
Well, a couple things. I know the last couple summers, I know by the end of June I was exhausted and burnt out. So I know if I'm that way, I'm sure the kids are too. So just the thought of, you know, they go to, you know, last summer we were up in the gym at 6 o'clock to shoot, and then they'd go work out, lift, and then they'd go to football or their job. And the first couple weeks were fine, but then you could just tell they hit a lull. It was ready to be over. And then when we'd go play, you know, kids are exhausted. And, you know, when you're trying to play, you're trying to get answers for your upcoming season. And I just thought that, you know, we have a lot of guys on our team that probably basketball is not their favorite sport. So, you know, which is fine. I mean, basketball is not my favorite sport either. But, you know, to not get kids burnt out, I don't want them to have to be up there every day. You know, I want them to be there when it's meaningful, and when they're there, we're getting after it. So it was very difficult for me to do that, but it worked out really well, and we played as well as I could have ever imagined. We went to a team camp down in Pittsburgh and, you know, did really well down there after just having two practices as a new team, and had some success at our summer league, and we had a tournament on the weekend and played really well down there. So I'm not sure if it was that method of not doing a lot of skill work during the summer or not, but it sure worked, and it was very enjoyable.
So what does it mean that you have a lot of new guys stepping into bigger roles and they're having some success, and now it's got to transition into the winter too, because you replace quite a bit. You know, you got Sheldon, who's going to go play at ESU. You lost Blake. You lost Calvin, who was another good defender. So Calvin Seeley, Blake Spellman. I'm trying to think of who else was in that senior class. I should Cooper. Know at the top. Yeah, Cooper, Rec. So that was an inside presence. And unfortunately, and I found this out a month ago, but and as Coach Baldwin mentioned, it's probably going to be a whole new starting five, but Emporia High will not have River Peters for his senior year. River has opted to transfer to Wichita Northwest. I know that's a big loss, and I don't know if you really want to talk about River, but he did a lot of good things for your program, but it's an unfortunate loss to have, you know, coming right before his senior year.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I wish him well, and, you know, to go back to your original point of guys stepping into other roles. You know, it was exciting to see some of our other guys get an opportunity to play this summer. And, you know, we're trying to establish a group of eight guys that we feel we can comfortably play on the floor. I feel really good about our post position, you know, with Madden, Chase Harrington, and Tarek. It gives us the opportunity to be able to play two bigs at a time if we play a bigger team or just have one on the floor. So I feel really good about that position right there. You know, and then, you know, our sub-varsity groups, we have a really good freshman group that came in this summer. They play really well together. They had they won their summer league playing at the JV level. So that's really exciting. And I would say the biggest thing that was the most enjoyable for me personally was just the team chemistry is really good. Like, our guys really enjoy being around each other. When we went down to Pittsburgh, it was, you know, all the guys hung out together. And it was just exciting, and it was a breath of fresh air with just how well they got along with each other.
You're getting ready to head into your third season as head coach. How do you feel about the program overall now that you have a couple years under your belt?
You know, I like where it's going, especially at the younger levels. You know, like I said, we had a middle school summer league for the very first time. We were able to have, it was 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, all Emporia kids. And we had four teams with 10 to 11 kids on each team, and they played for two games a week for a month, just playing. Our guys coached it. The coaches officiated it. To me, that's something new that's getting more kids involved. We had a youth league for our 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, and 5th graders. So I'd say at the youth levels, it's definitely going in the right direction to get more kids out and do those things. I would say at the high school level, I still think for us to take the next step and, you know, be an upper echelon 5A program, I think we've got to get over the hump and, you know, be able to have more guys be able to score. And I think that's something this summer, changing our offense to where it's, you know, less dribbling and trying to have five guys on the floor that can give us an opportunity to do something is, I think, going to require us to take the next step.
All right. I kind of have a two-part question for you. The first is, you know, how does you told your guys, you know, at the last two banquets, you know, this group has kind of set the tone because, you know, in your first season there was 15 wins. There was, what, 12 or 13 last year, and you want to you kind of want to have your program winning that many games, and you know, hopefully taking that next step and trying to get to the state tournament. But what's it going to take for this group with a lot to replace to take that next step, knowing they got a lot of experience? And also the second thing to my question, shot clock with the trial coming up here coming up in the winter.
I'll answer the first one first. You know, with the expectations, it's still an odd thing because of our three seniors. Josh is the only one that has started his career playing basketball and finished it that way. Nolan didn't play until his sophomore year, and then Madden didn't play until last year. So of those three seniors, you know, we only have one that has played all the way throughout. So even though we may have three seniors that start, we still have, you know, a lot of youth, even though it doesn't say that by age-wise. We'll have a junior class where we'll have, you know, Ryland's going to be a starter. Chase is going to play a lot of meaningful minutes. You know, Harry's going to be our starting point guard. So we do have a lot of – we have a nice balance of sophomores through seniors that are going to play. We just need a lot of time to play. And that was the design of doing that this summer was play more, which I'm not always a proponent of. But with this group, we needed to play more. And getting 18 games in June was something that this group needed to do. In regards to the shot clock you know, I don't have a strong opinion either way on it. Really, the only thing I hope for is if it's universal through a league. So if the Centennial League agrees to it, then we all do it. I wouldn't like to go play somebody on a Tuesday that has it and then come home and play without it. So, you know, I could be wrong. This could be egg in my face in 6 months, but I honestly don't think it's going to make that big of a difference. I really don't. You know, I just don't see that many possessions taken over 35 seconds. And I could be wrong on that, but, you know, the things I've studied and the coaches I've talked to, you know, I just don't see it being that big of an impact. I could see some stylistically pressing a little bit more to burn a little bit more clock defensively, but I don't see it making that big of an impact.
I did want to ask you about, in addition to your coaching staff, many probably already know, some may not, but Jesse Nelson will be on your coaching staff. How in the world did you yank him out of retirement?
Well, a couple fluke reasons. One, he has two grandsons in the program. Okay. That obviously helps immensely. And then we live a couple blocks away from each other, and we have, you know, my son and, you know, his granddaughter both go to Timberman, and he's always driving that golf cart by. So he started coming by the house a few times. We just started talking basketball and doing those things, and I had a position open, and, you know, he came in one night to talk basketball, and I said, hey, instead of talking basketball, let's do this on our staff. And gave him a couple weeks to make a decision, and he said yes, and I couldn't be more excited. You know, I think it could be intimidating for some people to have a guy on their staff that's got the pedigree and the resume he does, but I'd have been a fool not to accept his offer. And he's been around our guys all summer, and, you know, I've been a sponge with him too. You know, there's things that he notices that I wouldn't even have thought of just at practice or at games, and yeah, I'm really thankful that he's willing to do that, and he's very encouraging with me, and, you know, gives me certain things that, hey, have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? And we're also getting to the point now where it's getting enjoyable because there's certain things that I do that drive him nuts already. It's you know, he doesn't like that I don't put anybody on the ball on the sideline out of bounds, so he's curious about that. So we're getting to the point now where I'm not afraid to say, hey, you know, this is how we're going to do this right here. I appreciate your opinion, but thank you. But it's also, you know, if he tells me something, I'd be a fool not to think about it, acknowledge it, and go with that. So he's going to be a huge asset to our program. and more so with our guys. You know, high school males have a tendency not to listen very well. So I told our guys when we introduced him, I said, if you have a hard time listening to what Coach Nelson says, you need to look yourself in the mirror. His resume speaks for itself. So, but yeah, I couldn't ask for better coaching staff with that, with him coming on. Wow, that's good stuff.
Well, I'm probably not going on much of a limb, but I think you'll have the winningest assistant coach in the state of Kansas.
Yeah, if we don't, I'd like to meet somebody else that does. So he's going to be our varsity assistant, and you know, he's going to work with our post players at practice, and you know, he's just going to be a huge asset for me, and I'm really, really excited for that.
I'm excited too. I'm excited to see Coach Nelson. You know, when I come out to practice and everything, and I think this is going to be a good learning tool for the program, and of course, with what Coach Nelson has done over the course of his career, a lot of your guys are going to learn from Coach Nelson.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we had a multitude of guys improved immensely this summer. I mean, just from, you know, some of our freshmen from middle school to their freshman year, some of these guys didn't even start in middle school, and they're, you know, we're talking about them playing JV as freshmen.
Wow.
And, you know, and a guy like Tarek, he didn't even start in eighth grade. Now he's going to play varsity as a sophomore. So we've got a lot of guys that have improved immensely. And like I said, the most exciting thing for me and why I'm so invigorated again is, you know, our team chemistry. Like, the guys truly enjoy getting along with each other, and they do not care who plays well or who scores. Like, they only care about one thing, and that's who's winning. And we beat some teams this summer that were significantly more talented than us. But, you know, when the ball doesn't stick, it's fun to watch. And I'm really excited for this season. You know, I can't give a goal on wins and losses, but it's going to be fun. And our guys are going to play hard, and you're going to be able to tell that this matters a lot to them, which to me is the most important thing.
He's already got me fired up.
There you go. Last question that I have for you, Coach, is your varsity schedule all set?
Yeah, so there's some changes to our schedule. We'll open up at Liberal this year. Instead, Liberal takes place for Ottawa. So, yeah, this year we'll go out to Liberal.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, on Friday. So that'll be 2 years in a row going out to Liberal between football and basketball.
Yep.
So, you know, that one will be a change. We swapped out Paola for Hayes. So, I mean, if you're looking at that based strictly off, you know, wins and losses, that's going to be a lot more difficult of a challenge.
At least Hayes comes here.
Hayes does come here, but they've got a chance to be really good this year. You know, obviously, we still have Great Bend on our schedule in our non-con. We picked up Wichita Independent, who will play after Christmas. They were in the state title game 2 years ago at the 2A level. Swapped them out for Shawnee Mission North. So, in my opinion, I think our schedule will be harder this year than it was last year. Not just because of our non-con, but I think our league will be better too. Mm-hmm. Junction City is going to be really good.
Yep.
I mean, they won 17 games last year, and we bring back everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I think Washburn Rule will be even better.
Yep.
So, obviously, our midseason tournament, Capen, you know, they're the 5A state champs.
Collegiate's
going to be really good. So, our schedule, you know, our schedule is going to be pretty tough. So, some different people at the start of the year, some different places to go. But I think overall our schedule is going to be more difficult than it was last year. But, you know, if you want to be considered a good team, you got to beat good teams.
Yeah, because two road games in December and then sandwiched in with the Paul Terry Classic.
Yeah, very thankful to have that. You know, a lot of teams have their own tournament, and it's a good way for us to have people come watch us play and know that the season has started. And the last couple of years we've had a lot of success in that tournament. So, you know, it's going to be critical for us to get off to a good start because our schedule is going to ramp up as soon as Christmas is over.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Coach. Right. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you guys very much. Appreciate it.
And enjoy the rest of your summer. Continue to chase the kids around.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'm always tired.
Coach, again, thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Have a good rest of your weekend.
You too. Thank you.
All right, Lee Baldwin, the head boys basketball coach at Emporia High. Royals baseball again, right here on KVOE, 5:30 pregame, 6:10. For first pitch, Brady Singer on the hill for the Royals as they won last night 7-1, gained a game on the Red Sox, who lost. Hopefully that will be the same scenario tonight. And so, again, listen to Royals baseball right here on KVOE. Our thanks to our guest this morning, Casey Helm, the fine thrower out of Madison High School at Princeton University, now coming off of a second-team All-American season as a discus thrower. Also thanks to Emporia High Coach Lee Baldwin for joining us on this Saturday. That will wrap things up here. We'll talk to you again next Saturday. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongbineAuto.com.
Two backs in the backfield. Bennett and Ross are both in. Gleason, play action.